Scripture reading for this afternoon you find in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Chapter 8 in the book of Deuteronomy. Beginning at verse 1, let us hear the word of God. Through Moses, God speaking, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, so that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou art eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. The congregation, as we began to consider the Lord's Prayer, we've considered the first three petitions. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we found that these three focus on our duties toward God. The next three focus on our duties to ourselves. We pray for our daily bread, for the forgiveness of our sins, and to be delivered of evil. Also three petitions. Today we'll look at the fourth. Give us this day our daily bread. So Matthew 6, where the Lord's Prayer is recorded for us. But I would like to do that from the perspective of that chapter that we just read, Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, and I'll just read verse 3. And he, that's the Lord, humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, in order that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's an interesting connection, isn't it, between bread that rained from heaven, that they could eat with their mouth, and the bread which is the Word of God. That we should live by the Word of God, not just only by earthly, physical bread. And as we consider the petition, we can do that also in the context of our catechism, which you can find in the back of our Psalter, page 86, Lord's Day 50, question 125, which deals with that fourth petition. And the question is, what is the fourth petition? And the answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, in other words, that's what we're praying for when we pray this. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. It's kind of a summary of what it means. And we'd like to consider that from the passage and in the context, what it means. So we're called clearly to pray for our daily bread. That's our theme. Pray for our daily bread. The first place we will see a daily provision. Second, a daily service. And third, a daily trust. First, a daily provision. We read here Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is, you know, God speaking through Moses to the second generation. The first generation was turned back from Canaan. They wandered in the wilderness. They died. And now, 40 years later, they stand again before the promised land, about to enter. And Moses, as it were, repeating what God said to the previous generation. Deuteronomy means second law, second time reading of the law. What God expected of his people. They're about to enter. We read in verse 1. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Finally, after 40 years in the wilderness, where they wonder because of their unbelief that God could not lead them in. And God says, okay, if you do not want me to, if you don't want to trust me and go into the land, you will not even be able to go in. So everyone 20 years and older died in the wilderness. God had set him apart from Egypt, as he has set us apart from the world. And his purpose is to lead his people into Canaan. What a picture that is for us too. We are also set apart from the world now, and we are worshipping and hearing God speak, so that we would too, as we wander through the wilderness of this world, end up in spiritual Canaan, which is heaven. But God is not only telling that he's telling them what to do, but he's also telling them and reminding them of what he has done for them. Not only have I set you apart, from Egypt, but he says, I've cared for you all these 40 years. I fed you. Give you manna. We read it twice about that. Manna, which your fathers didn't know and you didn't know. It came from heaven. You ate it and it was a daily portion. God had given you a daily provision. 365 days a year times 10 is, and then times 4 is more than 14,000 days. God cared for them, gave them daily bread, a daily provision. He provided for them. He cared for them. He did not let them perish in the wilderness. And for them it was 40 years. How many years is it for you that God has provided you? How many times have you prayed for God to feed you, and he did feed you even when you didn't pray? God is a good God. This overflowing fountain of all good. He gives manna. And of course we didn't get bread from heaven like they did. Or did we? We get bread from heaven too. Of course it doesn't rain down as bread, but it comes down as water. And we have a seed that we got from the previous harvest, so we never made it ourselves. And we throw it in the soil, and it grows if it gets the water. And it brings forth 30, 40, 60, 100 fold. And we eat it, and we keep some for next year, and we sow it again. So ultimately it all comes from heaven, sunshine and rain. So even though they got it in a very special way from heaven, we still get it also in a very special way from heaven. We know what would happen if we would have 10 years no rain and no sunshine. It wouldn't look very good. But God not only gave bread for the body, but also for the soul. It's interesting that here Moses, really God through Moses, makes mention of that, right? It's about that manna. He didn't know about it. But God says a little later in chapter 8, the same chapter we read that together, he gave you water from the rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna. He gave you bread. He gave you water in a very amazing way from the rock. And we read in 1 Corinthians 10 that all of you got out of Egypt. All of you were fed with that food that came from heaven. All of you were drinking from the water that came from the rock, which is Christ, it said. Of course, when we read in the Old Testament and we read about the rock of flint, we wouldn't know that. But when you look at in light of the New Testament, he is the rock. He was already with Israel before he even was born in the flesh, because he is God. So he provided for them, as for us today, daily physical and spiritual bread. Now, it wasn't done in as dramatic way as it is, as it was then with us. We read, for example, verse 4, something extraordinarily remarkable. It says, and there's a couple other verses that say the same thing. It says, thy raiment or clothes did not wax old upon thee. Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Now, how to explain it exactly, I'm not quite sure, but it looked like that their clothes didn't wear out. And boys and girls, when they were growing and their feet were growing, the shoes didn't have their new shoes. God, in some superior, miraculous way, provided that for them. Bread from the sky, water from the rock, because they were in the desert. And of course, the cloud was over top of them to shield them from the sun. At night, it was a pillar of fire. They couldn't say that God didn't care for them. We cannot say that God doesn't care for us. You see, we, of course, always are impressed by something that's extraordinary. I've said it before. And we overlook the ordinary. And we forget that the ordinary already is extraordinary. The fact that we have daily bread, but we do not deserve any, that God takes care of us. And yet he asks us, he commands us to pray for our daily bread. But I want you to understand that the emphasis of the Lord's Prayer is not that it's a commandment only. It's also a promise. It's an encouragement. God says, you pray for that, and you can be sure you'll have it. Because if you could go back to Matthew 9, verse 6, you know that... Matthew 6, rather, verse 9. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven." We looked at that. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus said, pray like this. Where he calls us to prayer, when he causes us to pray, we know that the answer is forthcoming. As we heard the other day, that God will answer even before we call. As I said a few moments ago, how many times did you not pray for food and yet you get it? How many days would you have been starving if it had depended on you asking for it? And of course, if it be so directly related, we probably would, out of necessity, pray it more often. But God is so good, He showers it upon us. He showers rain upon the righteous and the wicked alike. But of course, it says in what Jesus, in verse 8, just before Matthew 6, verse 9, where He tells us how to pray, He says, "But don't pray like the heathen. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him." But the point is that we forget. We forget it's God's gift. And just like this morning where we had the word remember. So it's here. Did you see that in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 8? "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Remember. Remember, the angel said this morning, we heard that to the women, remember what he said. He said he would die. And arise. How come you're here at the grave? You're at the wrong place. You should have gone to Galilee, because he said, that's where I will meet you. The key word this morning was remember. And then we read later, they remembered, these women did. And the people that believed in the Old Testament, they remembered too, and they were blessed by way of remembrance. And that's why the Lord Jesus said too, even on for the Lord's Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me." Because we're forgetful creatures. We forget. We're so prone to take it for granted. And we not only are forgetful, but too often we're proud too. We think we've kind of accomplished it. It's because of us. Because of what we've done. And that's exactly what God tells them and warns them against. We read it together. He says in verses 11 and on, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." Beware, he says. Watch out. Amber alert. He says, when you've eaten, verse 12, and are full, and everything is going well, 14, "then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And fed you and gave you all these things, and thou say," in verse 17, "in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. I have done it. I've earned it. I deserve it." God says, remember, verse 18, he says it again, "the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." In other words, it's not only that God gave them the manna, but when they're in the promised land, God gives them also the power and the energy to till the ground and to sow and to harvest. So whether God gives it directly or indirectly by means of our efforts, it is still He. As in verse 18, "you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth." To labor. Remember, it is He. And so, just like they were called to remember, to look back and to look up. To look back and see how faithful God has been. To look up, to call upon Him for the future. For His daily provision. And of course, the picture of Israel in the desert, in the wilderness, is like us being in this world, which is like a spiritual wilderness. It's a dangerous place. And then the fourth petition we prayed is, "Give us this day our daily bread." And why would God do that? Why would He want us to pray for our daily bread before we even ask for the forgiveness of our sins? I've always found that puzzling. You think, wow, it's way more important to have the forgiveness of sins, really, and to be kept from evil than to pray for bread? The answer in the catechism says, that is, so when we pray this, we say, Lord, please provide us with all things necessary for the body. They would think, Lord, provide us with all things necessary for the soul. Why does the body come first? Well, let's look into that further. First of all, of course, it says necessary. All things necessary, not all things that we want, but all things that we need. That's one thing. We're prone to pray for the things we want. But God says, pray for the things you need. And note, second, all things. All things. You see that praying for bread really is a representation of all that we need to survive. Bread, we need food. We need water. And God says, haven't I given that to you? He repeats that over and over. Because ultimately, if you and I would only get bread and water, we would survive a long time. It's a picture of what we need, what is necessary for the body to keep us alive. And that includes food, that includes clothing, shelter, protection. It's all pictured in Israel that I just mentioned a few moments ago. How God protected His people. He was truly like a shield around them. The cloud protected them against the sun, gave shade. At night, the fire not only gave them light, but maybe even kept the wild animals away. Who knows? God did that. And so does God do it for us by in different ways. He provides for us too. But the question may be then still asked, if God knows all already and has decreed everything that comes to us, why still ask? Why still ask for the things that we know He's going to give us? We've dealt with that before. And the answer says, in the catechism, says it very nicely, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. When you acknowledge somebody, you reckon him present. When you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you recognize by that very prayer that you need, but that not only you need God, but that you realize He hears you. When you pray, when you're all by yourself, you realize you're not alone in the room. When you pray by people, with people, like I pray, and you pray when you're with people, that's one thing. You may do it, be seen of men. But when you're all by yourself, who are you kidding if you're praying? Unless you truly believe that God hears. So when I ask for my daily bread, for our daily bread, I acknowledge God to be the only fountain of all good. I want you to note that. That's really scriptural language. God is the only fountain of all good. And only good. There's no other fountain like that. And there's nothing but good that will come out of Him. Even though we might not always like it when it hits us. Because that good might be a reprimand. That might be a discipline. And that's really the context of this chapter, isn't it? He says, "Why do I do these things? Why did I give you all that time? To humble you, to prove you, to put you to the test, to know what's in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not." He humbled you. He suffered you deep to hunger. He allowed you to be hungry. Why? So that when the manna would come, they would be thankful. You see, it's not only about our needs, or even about us in the first place. It's about God. About our Heavenly Father and His good pleasure, His desire to provide everything we need. This is the idea that we would recognize and acknowledge verbally, mentally, privately, corporately, that all good comes from God alone. It's His good pleasure. His desire to provide for everything we need. Everything. For all of us. There's no lack. There's no shortage. God does not diminish forgiving like we would. Because we would give people things, and we could give and give and give, but we all run out at some point. Because we receive and we pass it on, and we run out of our supply. That's not so with God. Because all things originate with God. In the very beginning, He spoke words, and the world came into being. So, for all of us, all things necessary. Not only what we need to live from day to day, but what we need to live rightly from day to day. I want you to understand that. God doesn't just give us that daily food just for us to live, but to live rightly. To live in the right way, day by day. And that brings us to a second point. Because the daily provision is not just given to us and we can do with it as we please. Daily provision would lead us to daily service. That's what the text was about. Whether you would keep my commandments, whether you would serve me, yes or no. Therefore, I gave you that. Did you notice the connection when he said, I fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know? Why? Why did I feed you with manna? That, and I said, in order that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone. So God says, I fed you with manna from the sky so that you would not live by bread alone. So that you would realize that the provision that God gave you really is a picture of another gift of bread, which is His word. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Purpose is daily service. God gives daily supply, daily provision. But it's meant that we would serve Him daily, day by day, day by day. And it's really one of the reasons that I read in one of these commentators that fourth petition is, give us this day our daily bread, coming before, forgive us our sins, and before, deliver us from evil. Because you see, all these things that we need to do, we need to be able to do in the body. You see, so in other words, in order to serve God, in order to do hallow His name and pray for His coming kingdom and get active in it and for His will to be done in earth, in order to do that, we must eat. We fast maybe at times, but the main purpose of service and the main means whereby we can serve is we must eat, because if you don't eat, you can't work. If you don't eat, you can't serve. So not to pamper our body. The purpose of eating is not to pamper ourselves, but to be fit for service. So we pray and we eat and we rest, we exercise. We even then say no to certain food if it is not making us fit for service. Israel was reminded of that truth, often painfully. And we too. We're just like them. It's not just about them back then. As I've said many a time, it's about us today, right here. Forgetful, selfish, disobedient. And we are called to give heed. This is the word of God to us today. All the commandments, verse 1, which I command thee this day, observe to do. That you, in order that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Observe to do. We had in the adult class, we talked about the very same thing. Pay careful attention. Watch for details. To do means to obey. And if it's to remember, to keep. Remember, all the way, these 40 years and so forth, humble and all this, to keep His commandments or no. The word keep, with keeping His commandments, and the word observe to do is the very same thing. Obey. Do it. So that's really why manna was given. God gave them manna, not just to keep them alive. He gave them manna to prompt them to service. So they would be reminded that as they eat, but he would say, it's good that God gives you food, but we're not just to live by bread alone. We must live by every word that comes from God. Every gift that comes from God. Every energy that comes from God. Everything for the very same purpose, to love him above all and our neighbor as ourselves. That's the sum of the law. That's why God led Israel into the wilderness and through the wilderness. I don't know if you noticed that in King James, that the word in our text is in italics. It says that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every that proceedeth. Everything that proceedeth. Everything, every word. The word dabar is in it, that can be everything. It can be every word. Everything that that God gives us, that we make good use of that. Bread is but a picture of that. Bread is a picture of what our body needs. Bread is also a picture of what our soul needs. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. So that's why the Lord did that, to humble us, to prove, to test us, so that they would know what was in their hearts. That's one of the things that people lack by nature, is self-knowledge. That's why God says that. That's why I need to test you and put you to the test. So we not only see their sinful actions, but their sinful hearts. Because that's what it speaks, that you would know what's in your heart. It's not only about the do's and the don'ts that are right and wrong, but what motivations do we have? What desires do we have? And that's why he fed and cared for them. And it's the connection is so plain in verse 5. It says that thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. He says, that's what I'm telling you here. I'm rebuking you. Why do I do that? Not because I dislike you or not love you, but the opposite. Why does a father discipline you, children? It's because he loves you. Simple as that. He doesn't want you to end up in the wrong place or doing the wrong thing. You know, you read about that discipline and the father's love in Hebrews 12. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He chastises, that means he disciplines. And then verse 6, as a man does his father, so the Lord God does to you. Therefore, verse 6, means for that reason, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Be afraid for sin. Fear sin and do what's right. Then God says, I will give you everything you need. And that's exactly what he says, isn't it? Verses 7, 9 and 10, 7 through 9. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, wheat, barley, fig trees, vines, pomegranates, olive oil, honey. A land where you would eat bread without scarceness. That means it's not going to be scarce, it's going to be all abundant. You will not lack anything in it. Wouldn't be surprised if that's the same word. I haven't checked it out, but the word thing in italics in verse 9. Not any thing in it. A land whose stones are iron, so you have even iron and brass. In other words, the Lord said, I'm going to give you all what you need. What a picture that is of heaven. That's really what's pictured. Separated from Egypt, bondage, slavery, through the wilderness, into the promised land. So you see here how not only it is pictured who we are by nature, but also who God is. You see his patience, his goodness, on and on. How slow he is truly to wrath and how quick to forgive. But then he says also in verse 11, beware. Beware. Right? We looked at that. Beware that you don't forget. Beware that you don't neglect these pricks in your conscience. That you don't fail that test. And so that's why the Lord says, pray this prayer. But don't serve yourself with it, but serve God and each other. Which is really translated from the whole law keeping, love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. James, we are warned in James, you ask, chapter 4 verse 3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. serving self instead of others. I want you to also note that it says, give us this day our daily bread. It's the same thing as our Father. We don't pray my Father. You don't pray, give me this day my bread. It's something that you pray in private, but you actually are praying it, realizing that you're united with all other of God's people together. You're not just an individual, you're part of the family of God. It's not just about me, but about us as God's family. Our Father, our bread. Literally it says this, our bread sufficient for the day, give us this day. So understand that, our bread sufficient for the day, give us. In other words, the bread sufficient is not just that I may survive till the next portion I get, but I may serve till the next bread I get. Give us enough energy to serve for another day, one day at a time. God is, at the one hand, we think sometimes it's stingy that God's to give just enough for the day. No, no, it's His care for us is a daily care. A daily provision for daily service. Because He knows us. He knows if we would put our bank full of money and our closets full, we so quickly forget. Just like Israel, when they had abundance, what did they do? Indeed, they forgot. And they acted in rebellion. So the focus on our Lord God, His glory. Otherwise, we can have everything we like and want, but not His blessing. Catechism says that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. And then it goes on to say, the Catechism, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. So not even the gifts God gives us will be a blessing to us if we do not receive it rightly. If it doesn't get translated in serving Him one way or another. And of course, serving God is doing our daily work. Whether you eat or drink, we talked about it with sermon discussion, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So when you do your daily work, do it to the glory of God. That neither our care or industry, nor even Thy gifts can profit without Thy blessing. Our care means simply our planning, our scheming, our worrying, our fussing. All that won't make a difference. All the care, all the time that we are anxious and worrying about tomorrow doesn't help us tomorrow, and it doesn't make us happy today. It's absolutely useless, and yet we often do it. But this very prayer should give us comfort, give us this day our daily bread. He did it yesterday, and He did it the day before. He did it how many thousand days already? Why then worry? God says, you are much more valued than the sparrows and the birds and the flowers. You really think I wouldn't feed you? Our care, our industry, without the proper receiving. All our industry, the word industry simply means hard work. Somebody can be industrious, he's working. Our diligence, our sweat, our toil. Whatever we do cannot secure us for tomorrow. You can have all kinds of things stored in your barn and in your pantry and all that, and some fire burns it down to the ground in a couple hours. If God doesn't stop it, a lightning could strike, earthquake, people, an enemy can come in and rob it from you, as happened many times in Israel. So all their care, all their industry, all their hard work is what they, when they said, my power has done it, God laughs at that. He says, my power. Okay, what power did you have to plow the field and to put seed in the soil and to get the rain to come down and not too much and not too little and the sun to shine it, not to burn it, but enough to heat it and to grow it? There's so many factors out of your reach. How do you think you've done it? And no matter what other job, but I think particularly the farmer's job is evident. But no matter what job you do, because if you're not healthy, you can't do it. God gives that health. So even the gifts that He gives are not a blessing to us, our health, our strength, our jobs, all of that fruitless without the blessing of God. In Psalm 127, verse 1, we read, except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. You notice it doesn't say don't labor. It doesn't say don't keep watch. But if you have not the focus of God in your laboring and in your keeping, it's all useless. It doesn't say don't care, don't serve. It doesn't say don't be diligent. It does. We must pray and work. But we must not lose sight of focus. And of us this morning too, if whatever we do, these women were seeking Jesus. They loved Jesus. They were believers. But they were in the wrong place with the wrong attitude. They came looking for a dead Savior. They should have come looking for a living one. They came to the sepulcher, to the cemetery, instead of in Galilee where He was going to come. So you can build your house, you can labor, you can build your company, you can build all kinds of things. But if the Lord does not bless it, it's like the house built on the rock, on the sand rather. It will not last, it will not stand. So we shouldn't lose sight of our focus. Serving God through Christ. Serving God with the strength for the day, sufficient for the day. It's your daily bread too. Not just to survive, but to serve. That God is glorified. You see, that's how we were created. We were created that we are satisfied when God is glorified. In other words, when we delight in His Son, in the Son of His good pleasure, we partake of that good pleasure. And outside of that, it's perhaps the pleasures of sin for a season. But there is no satisfaction that lasts. Now, we have then the daily provision and the daily service. And that's all looking at the past and today. But we still have the future. And that is the third point. It's about daily trust for the time. So daily trust. As we look at the back, we look back, we look up, we look around, and we see God has taken care of us till this very moment. Of course, it's the unknown future that is what sometimes overwhelms us. It's very understandable that we're worried about the future and what's happening in our nation and around the world. I can just imagine how the people in Belgium and other places feel right now with the threat. They don't know when the next strike will be of terror. And we seem to be quite safe here, far away, far removed from that. But we have other worries, perhaps. But that we then would be drawn away from that to look at the God. It says, God, it says, I've been so faithful. I've given you everything you needed all the time. Continue to put your trust in me. Continue to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Of course, we have no right to it. But at the same time, He says, plead it. Because the very fact that He is your Father, He will give what you ask. We read in John 16, 23, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it. Now that may be sometimes people say, well, so I can ask what I want. Whatsoever it says, you shall ask of my Father in my name, He will give it. But if you read the context, you realize that whatever you then ask, and the more you're asking what God wants you to ask, and what if you have not asked what He wanted you to ask, then He will give you what you should have asked. Because ultimately, we already had, not my will, but thy will be done. God's will be done. So we have to ask according to His will. Because sometimes God has not given His people all these blessings. In the Old Testament, it always seemed to connect, right? When they repented, they got blessings. They got prosperity and everything. But in the New Testament, with the New Testament church, many a time, you see the opposite. Christians have not been persecuted like this in this century, in this day and age, as they ever were. Many Christians are suffering. How can that be? You see, God has not promised us physical prosperity, but spiritual prosperity. Very plain, he says, I feed you manna for one purpose, that you would live not only by bread, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. So your real life is not in the physical bread, but in what it represents. God's care for you, that you receive his daily provision, that you serve him to the best of your ability, and coming short, I know that, you confess your sins, but that you also, through that process, begin to trust him for the tomorrows, one day at a time. I can just imagine people are having a supply of food maybe for a month and then say, well, what after that? Well, we're still day by day. For every need so far, there has been a daily supply. God says, now trust me for tomorrow. He will give it to us. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. And if we are called to do something, or if we're called to serve him, he will give us the strength and the health and all that we need. That we need. The emphasis is on need, not want. Although I think if you come closer to following the word and the will of God, your desire and your want will become more and more conformed with what you need. You will grow in understanding what to pray for. But God says, did you lack anything? He asked him that. Was there anything missing? You won't lack anything. Later on, when they're in the promised land, God will repeat that. Will repeat that and ask them, well, did you? Did you lack anything even in the wilderness? And the only answer people of Israel could say in the wilderness as well as in the promised land, no, we lack nothing. And yet we wanted more. We served other gods. There was still something, a craving in us to go beyond what God has commanded and revealed in his word. It's interesting that they go into the land that's theirs already. He says, go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. In other words, God already by oath has given it to you. You have to just go in and take possession. And I'll give you everything you need for it. That phrase, go in and possess, is in Deuteronomy 50 times. Go in and possess. Go in and possess. God says, you do what I said. You put your trust in me. You'll have every provision, everything that you need given to you. I've said it before. God's record is that he commands and that he provides what he commands. So God will never command you and me anything for which he will also not give the grace and the strength and the endurance to do it. But in daily portions. He doesn't give us pockets full of strength and hope and faith to get through the next month. He gives us enough for the next day. Give us this day our daily bread. And we already said, you know, something about, it doesn't say give us this day, or give me this day my bread. But, you know, also what he doesn't say. He also doesn't say, tell us to pray, give us thy bread. That's interesting. Because it's God's bread. God could have every, and can have, and does have every right to say, to pray, to teach us to pray, give us your bread, God, give us thy bread, because we don't deserve it. And yet he says, give us this day our bread. As if there is an ownership there. It reminds me of that story when the disciples were at the Sea of Tiberias, right? And they couldn't catch anything. And then the Lord said, do it on the other side of the ship. And then he brought in that fish to the shore. And what did Jesus say? Bring me of the fish that I've given you. No, he didn't say that. He said, bring me of the fish that you have caught. This is a very beautiful thing. It means to say that when God gives us something, He treats us as if it indeed is ours. As if we did earn it. We didn't. But He gives everything as if it is indeed ours. As long as we never forget that it was given us. So it is my faith when I believe. At the same time, we know it's God who worked it. It's our bread, even though we know it's really God's bread and He gave it. He gives it so completely because it's in Christ. You see, the living bread that He gives us all these things. So we begin to obey, we begin to please Him, and He receives that as if we had done it all ourselves. As if, the Catechism says, if we accomplished it. As if we died on the cross. As if we lived a perfect life. Well, we know we didn't. But so complete is the gift of God that He reckons it all to our account, even though Christ accomplished it for us. By nature you have no right to this bread, but by grace we do. And all that we would serve Him and trust Him for tomorrow. We're never worthy of it. But He always is. Because it's His gift that, as it were, comes back to Him. So in other words, that very gift keeps giving. That's the purpose, that we would receive it and with an eye, with gratitude to God, serve our neighbor. That's why we get bread. That's why we eat bread. Not to serve ourselves, but to serve God. And really, that's what the last part of the Catechism, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. That's what we pray. Lord, I put not my trust in any of my own accomplishments. I do not put my trust in my bank account. I do not put my trust in anybody else but in Thee. Because Thou hast provided for me in the past. Even though it was by means of my labor, it comes from Thee. And because it came in the past days from God to me, without that I deserved it, I may know He will do so in the future. He has proven track record, you see. That's why we can trust Him. It honors Him. It honors Him that we look away from all other things. If we put our trust alone in God, God is glorified. He is pleased. And He will act as our Father. Just like a child comes to his father. And if you children come to your dad and ask for something, and then it's not just something that you just want, but something that you need, He'll give it. He'll do that. He gives you what you need, not what you want. At least not always. Sometimes He might even give you what you want. God does do that too. He gives us way beyond what we need. We didn't have just bread and water at lunchtime, you see. A lot more than that. So God gave way beyond bread and water. So God gives more than we ask. I think it's safe to say that He always does that. He always gives us more, way, way more than we deserve. Way more than we even can think of asking. If you would ask for the blessings that you need every day, you wouldn't get out of your prayer room. If you have to pray through a whole day and ask for every specific thing, you'd be busy praying for hours. God says, no, just say, give us this day our daily bread. That means everything else that I need. God knows that once we've prayed and said amen, we have to get up and go. Pray and work. You can't just sit there and do nothing. You can't sit there and buy a table with empty plates and say, Lord, please give us this day our daily bread. Amen. And open your eyes and see the bread on the table. It's not going to work like that. You have to work for it. Or at least you have to go to the pantry and get it. You have to slice it. You have to chew it. You see that God's gracious provision is never separated from our duty and from our trust. As He's done in the past. And sometimes God gives us things that we need to serve Him and that we don't like. I was just thinking about the Apostle Paul when he got the thorn in the flesh. Lord, he says, I could serve Thee so much better without that thorn. He prayed 3 times that God would remove it. 2 Corinthians 12. What does Jesus say? my grace is sufficient for thee. So we think we need more or less of this or that. God says, it's enough. My daily portion is just right for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. We like to feel strong. God says, no, I want you to be weak. I will give you just enough what you need. You have to remember, it's my strength. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, there's childlike trust. Paul, as it were, says, oh, I wish that thorn, it's such a pain. It hurts so much. But then he actually, what he says, my Father knows best. That's what he's saying. I wish that thorn to be removed, but my Heavenly Father thinks it's better for me that I keep it. And he knows why. We don't know what the thorn was, but we know it was because of pride. Isn't that the same problem with the Israelites? It's pride. Isn't that our problem? It's pride that we think we've done it. God says, you did it only by my grace. Do not forget. Remember, remember, remember. And if you don't want to remember, I can give you a thorn. But you don't need a thorn if you would remember. Paul's problem and sin, obviously, was his pride. So he was a godly man, but he struggled with something, and we have the same thing. You know what your thorn or your thing is, that, or your Achilles heel, your weak spot, and you know that the Lord is working with you on that. There would not be rebukes, there would not be chastisement, there would be no thorns if we would do always what's right, but we're sinners still. Even when we are saints, we still sin. So the Lord says, put your trust in me. I will give you daily provision, not just for your body, but for your soul too. Not just for surviving, but for service. Trust me. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. And he says, very clearly, he says, if you do these things, you'll be blessed. Verse 4, it says, it shall be all well with you. But then he says in verse 19, it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods, I testify against you, you will perish. Just like the nations. So that's why the Lord, he drove out the Canaanites. He says, now remember what these Canaanites lost and what I gave to you. You'll lose it too if you do not serve me. So that's really what it is. Pray for daily bread, daily provision, and daily service, and daily trust in the bread of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ.